Would you like to turn with me to John chapter 1, where looking at the way John treats encounters between people and Jesus. And we're in John chapter 1, we read from verse 35. John the Baptist, not to be confused with the John who wrote the book, John the Baptist has been talking about Jesus, and he's pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Everyone's thinking, whoa, what does that mean? So the next day, the Bible says, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The ancient world was sort of split between Aramaic, Latin and Greek, so there's sometimes words kind of have a bit of translation problems, okay? The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. He was as prejudiced as Top Gear presenters against Mexico, wasn't he? Anyway, "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." No idea what that means. Don't ask me. Presumably Nathanael was praying under the fig tree. I can only assume he was praying and had some kind of experience of God, as an armed robber in the story I told to the children. And I guess he encountered with God and comes straight from that and meets Jesus and puts the two together. That's my guess, but you're welcome to guess yourself. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You're the man," he's saying. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now that was some afternoon. That was some encounter. I want to lead us into this by telling you about some of our house guests. Susan and I love being hospitable to people, and we have some fantastic people around for meals and some people staying with us. And we had three young people staying with us recently, three young Christians, who we absolutely adore. We kind of like to adopt them as our children when they're up in North Wales. Yeah, smashing young folk. And they were just great to have around the house. But they had an evening off. And they were really tired. They'd been doing a lot of travelling, a lot of hard work. And we said, what do you want to do? They said, "Well, just let us sit in the living room." We said, "Okay, look, here's a television. We've got Freeview. Here's a remote control. There's a CD player there. You can put a CD in. There's got a radio there you can listen to." They said, "No, well, just give us the password to your Wi-Fi. That's all we want." So we let them into our Wi-Fi. And the three of them spent the entire evening sitting there, each with their laptop on their lap, networking on Facebook and on emails, just being young people, just socially networking. And they were as happy as Larry. They were connected from North Wales, right across Wales, and even into England with their social networking. And they were happy. They were among their friends, virtually, through the net. And did you know that 24 million people in the UK are reported to be active users of Facebook? Did you know that? Did you know that the average person in the UK spends 6.08 hours a month? Only Australians and Americans spend longer socially networking through Facebook. Did you know that? Did you know that a third of adults in the UK post at least once to social sites such as Facebook and Twitter? I had an exchange in Portuguese with one of our church members this week on Facebook. Strange things happen, you know, in Penrith and in on net. If Facebook were a country, only India and China would have bigger populations. So how many of you are passport carriers of Facebook? Let's just check. How many of you are wow! Look at that. That's about two-thirds of the church are passport carriers in the kingdom of Facebook. And that's good. I will have nothing said against it. You can say things against it, but okay. It's okay. It's good. Now here's... I don't know how all those have landed on the screen. Is it you doing that, or is it doing it itself? It's not you. Okay, well, there you go. There we go. Let's take a look then at the networks you belong to. Many of us are on the social electronic networks. But we all belong to a number of networks, in fact. I put some on the screen. They were going to come one at a time, but they've come all at once in a flood. But that's good. So we got the family. We belong to the network of the family. And so we all networked right across the world through the family. And then in the far top corner there, we're networked through our work. And we don't all have snazzy uniforms like these guys, but they're networked into human society through work. And then there's a picture of Bangor University students in a lecture with all of their laptops open. I'm sure that was taken in main lecture. No, it wasn't taken in Bangor University. But anyway, there you all are. And you networked through education. And some of us are networked through sport. Just happen to have a team playing in red jerseys there. That was put on Facebook before the game yesterday. I made this up several weeks ago. So just coincidentally, it celebrates Wales' victory, but we pass over that slowly. Some of us are networked through activities, and there we have the Scottish Country Dancers, who beat all records this week. They had 20 Scottish Country Dancing on Thursday night. Join the group. And there they are. And then in the bottom corner we have, this is actually an old school reunion. So these guys are networked through their old school network. And then, of course, down somebody is worshipping God. We're networked through church. So thank you. We have the lights back on now. Yes, don't put the lights on, that would be good. So I can see everyone, that's good, you're all still there, you haven't slipped out. We're networked. Those are the ones that came to my mind instantly. Now, you've all got networks that you belong to, that you relate to human beings through the network. And I think what John, the writer here, John, he was one of Jesus' first apostles, one of the disciples, as we'll see. John was thinking here about what he calls, or what I call, the Jesus network. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, to talk about the Jesus network, because I think this is a very important aspect of human activity, the Jesus network. I think I'm the only one who calls it that. Theologians call it something sort of like the kingdom of God. It's kind of, they've got more technical terms. So I call it the Jesus network. I do recommend the theology students don't call it the Jesus network in your essays. unless you kind of put it in brackets and, you know, or the kingdom of God in brackets, the Jesus network according to the Bangor School of Theology or the Cousin School of Theology. I guess that would be all right. It's not quite like the Tubingen School of Theology, but whatever, you know. Put me down, acknowledge that it's me and that's fine. But it's the Jesus network. And I think because what John is saying to us in his passage, John is writing to get a message over to us. I think what John is saying is this. He's writing this as an old man. He's an elderly gentleman living in the city of Ephesus. Now, as a young man, he probably never dreamt of living in the city of Ephesus. But as an old man now, he's in Ephesus. And he's watched the church grow. In fact, he perhaps appears in this story. I'll come back to that in a moment. And he's watched the first people start following Jesus. The first people begin believing in Jesus. And he's seen how it works. And it begins, as we're going to see, with a network of family and friends. And then it's called, kind of begins to spread out from that. And he's seen people all around his world start to become followers of Jesus and to see Jesus touch their lives. And he's seen Jesus work miracles in different languages, in different cities, in different places. And as an old man now, he's wanting to tell us, guys, this is how it happens. I want you to come and join this Jesus network because it's now spreading throughout the world. There's a Peruvian missiologist called Samuel Escobar, one of the great modern theologians. And he wrote something absolutely beautiful recently. And it's this. He said, "The facts of our time make me pause in wonder. Jesus Christ, incarnate Son of God, is the core of the gospel, which as a potent seed has flourished in 1,000 different plants. We can name a place and time on earth in which Jesus lived and taught. In Palestine, during the first century of our era. After that, the story of Jesus," he writes, "has moved from culture to culture, from nation to nation, from people to people, and something very wonderful has taken place. Though this Jesus was a peasant from Palestine, everywhere he has been received, loved, and adored, and people in hundreds of cultures and languages have come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Moreover, they have come to feel that Jesus is theirs, so that they say, Jesus is one of ours." And that's very beautiful. John was seeing that in the first century. And so that's why he writes. And we saw already that the first section of this book, it doesn't follow the chapters. If you read it in the Greek, the first section finishes in our chapter 2, verse 11, where John says, "This the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." Because this is what it's all about. John is writing this to show you how people have come to put their faith in Jesus. They've had their doubts, they've had their worries, but they've doubts, whatever they've been, but they've come to put their faith in Jesus. And he's telling us how that happened and how you and I can do the same and why you and I should do the same. Put our faith in Jesus. And the Jesus Network talks about Jesus. The Jesus Network is how other human beings come into contact with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. And therefore it's a vitally important thing that John is telling us about here. It's not the church. It's more spread out than that. We meet on a Sunday, but that's because we come together to worship God. Bruce Milne has a wonderful picture of a Mexican wave. You know the Mexican wave in a stadium? Ever taken part in a Mexican wave on a stadium? It's good fun, isn't it? If the game's boring, it keeps you occupied. But Mexican wave's fun. But he says, you know, there's like a Mexican wave of worship that happens every Sunday for 24 hours. And in New Zealand and Australia, they begin it. they stand up and they worship God in the name of Jesus Christ. And they thank God for Jesus. And then this Mexican wave, it sweeps through Japan, China, Singapore, Siberia. And it just, this Mexican wave, people start worshipping God. As the earth spins, people right through then, through India and through Europe and into the UK and into Portugal and Spain are worshipping God like we're doing now. And in a few hours' time, that Mexican wave is going to move on. And the people in Canada, the eastern borders of Canada and America and Brazil, in a few hours' time, it'll be their turn to stand up and worship God in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it will sweep on across America and Canada and into to Peru, Bolivia and Peru and Chile and Ecuador. And even the Alaskans will get their turn in the Mexican wave. And that's what happens on a Sunday. Isn't that fantastic? This is our turn this morning. It's our turn to stand up and worship. But that's only on a Sunday, you know. The Jesus Network will be spread out tomorrow morning across North Wales, across the world. And John is saying that's what's important, the people of the Jesus Network. So let's take a look at the network then. And it begins with a family. Strange enough, there's a huge family beginning, strength of family in the early Jesus Network. We saw last week that Jesus and John the Baptist were related. Distantly, we're not sure how, but they were related. They might have been first cousins or second cousins, something like that. Jesus' family was actually, his close family was slow to believe in him. We've seen that the only one who really believed in him at this point was Mary, his mother. She knew what Jesus was and how it was going to be. But the others, slow to come around. They did come around eventually, but they were quite slow. His younger brother James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And his other brother Jude wrote the book of Jude that's in the Bible. Their cousin Simeon became the second bishop of Jerusalem. So Jesus' natural family was the beginning of the Jesus Network, because that's quite natural, that's how it happens. And the story here is that Jesus is quite a long way from home. He's left Galilee, he's come down into Judah to listen to John the Baptist and to be baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And a lot of people, it was like a religious trip, you know. You go down, a bit of a pilgrimage, you go down to listen to John the Baptist. And people came and stayed down there, and they had these big revival meetings in the open air, and they were fantastic. People came to meet with God, to encounter with God there. And there's Jesus among them. There's quite a few Galileans have come down to share with him. And the Bible says that there's two disciples. One of them is called Andrew, and the other is not named. Now, traditionally, the other one is John, the writer of this book, who becomes John the disciple and John the apostle. He's quite shy putting his own name into the book. He usually, in this book, describes himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. So he's shy to put his name there. It's possibly him. Traditionally it is, but we don't know for sure. Interestingly enough, that John was related to Jesus, probably. It takes a bit of time. He's related to Jesus through his mother. And we guess that. This is a bit of detective work, okay? This is a bit of Bible detective work. When Jesus was crucified, there were a number of women around the cross. And Matthew, Mark and John all talk about three women who were around the cross of Jesus when he was crucified. All right? So if we read in Matthew, among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, Zebedee's sons were John, and his brother James. Not to be confused with James, the brother of Jesus. Too many James in his story, I'm sorry, and John's. Okay, so this is John's mother, because John's father, they had a fishing business, Zebedee and Sons Fisheries, it was called, or probably, or something like that. Okay, and his mother was at the cross of Jesus with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in Mark, we have the same sort of passage. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. So we know that probably John's mother was called Salome. And then John says, yeah, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So I've highlighted those in yellow. The same woman, probably. Mother of Zebedee's sons, Salome, and his mother's sister, Mary's sister. So quite likely, Salome was Mary's sister, the Virgin Mary's sister. Not to be confused, actually I did confuse Mary, the mother of Jesus, mother of James and Joseph in the first one. I'm sorry, just correct that one if you're listening on the web. But Zebedee, mother of Zebedee's sons, that's John's mother, is Salome, and she is Virgin Mary's sister. Have you followed me? You have, thank you. It just gets a bit complicated. So there we are. Probably James then was, John was Jesus' first cousin. All right? So we have here the family network. Incidentally, there were also disciples on Joseph's side. That's another story, that's for another time. So we see that among the early disciples and the first believers forming the Jesus network, they were family of Jesus. And then it goes on to Andrew, who was also a fisherman, but not, as far as we know, related to Jesus. And Andrew's down there on a trip listening to John the Baptist, and he meets up with Jesus, perhaps met him before, I don't know. And he goes and calls his brother, Simon Peter. We know him in the Bible as Peter, who wrote the book of Peter towards the end of the New Testament. And again we find the Jesus network extending through families. Now, God's put us all in families. And God's desire is that you and I take the Jesus network into our families. Doesn't mean we preach our families 24/7, but we are Jesus representatives within our families. It's the Jesus network, and this is what's happening. The church, the followers of Jesus are growing. And then we read that the friendships began to come into play. And we have the Jesus network that comes through families. And then we have the Jesus network that comes through friends. The friendship network in the Jesus network. We move on. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." And when a Jewish teacher asked you to follow him, it meant more than just walking a few steps behind. It meant sharing his lifestyle, listening to his teaching. It meant getting involved with what he was doing. It was a big deal to follow a rabbi, a teacher in those days. So Philip goes and finds Nathanael. And he tells Nathanael, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law. Moses said there would come a prophet greater than him." And everyone was waiting for the day when this greater prophet than him came. And Philip says, "I think I found the guy. He's John the Baptist calls him the Lamb of God. I don't know what that means, but I tell you something. This guy's got something special about him. It's Jesus." And so we have Philip. Andrew has found his brother Simon and taken him on. Now, Philip is finding his friend, Nathanael, and we find that Nathanael was something of a skeptic. He had doubts about, he was not prepared. I'm not saying Nazareth was a one-horse town. It was more like a one-donkey town. It had a very poor water supply, so not many people lived there. Not many people could live there, and I suspect not many people wanted to live there. So Nathanael's very sceptical then about Jesus. I don't think any Messiah is going to come from Nazareth. But no, says Philip. Let's just go and come and see. So along he goes, along he toddles, and he meets Jesus. And Jesus just speaks straight into his life. Whatever happened under that fig tree as Nathanael was praying, Jesus just speaks straight into his life. And you know something, Nathanael says, wow, this Jesus, he can see right into my soul. Yeah, this is good. Let's follow him. And he says, I'm going to follow you. And so for the next 3 years and the first dozen years of the church's life, the Jesus network expands, partly through family, but increasingly through friendship. It's only after quite a long time that they began to send out some missionaries to preach in the marketplace and things like that to people they didn't know. For the first few years of the church, it grew just like a network of the Jesus network of people telling others about Jesus, people taking the love of Jesus into where they lived and where they worked. So what the Apostle John is writing to say to us is this. I'm writing this because I want you to believe. Come and see Jesus for yourself. So the disciples come and see Jesus, but they still haven't quite believed. And then Jesus does a miracle at a wedding. The wine runs out. It's very embarrassing to everybody. And his mother knows something's going to happen, so his mother's nudging him. And Jesus is saying, don't tell me what to do. Jesus and his mother had a very human relationship, you know. She says, don't tell me what to do. So he goes, and they have these huge jars that were kept water for purification purposes, for religious washing. They're full of water. And Jesus says, you know, pour these out. Go and serve this. This is good wine. And they dip down to it, and it's wine. Yeah? There's a massive amount. And it must have been either a very big wedding or everyone got very drunk. I'm not sure. It's a strange kind of miracle, but his disciples were watching that. And maybe they blamed him because his disciples had drunk all the wine. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the wine, you know, Jesus uses wine again and again as a symbol of the new kingdom of God. The breaking of God's purpose into our lives. And so at the Last Supper, he pours out wine as a symbol of his blood shed for us. Israel was known as the vine of God. In fact, on the temple, there was a big stone vine carved because the people of God were seen as the vine. And Jesus says, at one point, I am the vine and you are the branches and you are to bear fruit. So wine is constantly used as a sign of God's providence, of God's blessing, of God pouring out his blessing on earth. So I think that's what happens here. It's a tremendously symbolic sign. And the point is that the first disciples believe, then his disciples believed him. From that point on, they were the Jesus network. And John is writing this whole book because he's elderly now. He's living in Ephesus. And he's writing to you and me. And he's saying, look, I want you to believe as well. This is how we all believe to begin with. And I'm calling you, he says, to join the Jesus network. I'm calling you to believe in Jesus. I'm calling you to invite Jesus into your life, into your heart, and join up with the Jesus network. This is your calling, he said. This is your destiny, to be part of the Jesus network. It happened for me. I heard of Jesus through my family first. Then a friend invited me to the church. But it still didn't click. I still didn't believe. And I went to university. It was in my head, but it hadn't clicked. I didn't really believe. And God, in his providence, moved me into a corridor where about five or six Christians had all moved, because it was a quiet corridor, and they all moved down there together, and I just moved in among them. And they invited me to church, and then the preacher got through to me, and one Sunday night in my hall of residence, I invited Jesus into my heart. But that Jesus network reached out to me. Wherever I went, I found the Jesus network. Even when I moved, the Jesus network was there, and that's what drew me in. And John is saying, that's what happened. Look, it begins with just a group of fishermen. You're just guys doing fish, just ordinary guys off the street, guys off the boats, working men, blue collar workers, just a group of them. But they're the beginning of the Jesus network. Now today, 2 billion people claim to follow Jesus. What John is saying is this: come and join the Jesus network. Be the Jesus network wherever you are. Now we're all to gather together here this morning, and that's great. It's lovely to see you. You're looking great. You're looking relaxed and comfortable and happy, and I'm pleased about that. It's good to see you. But don't get carried away with what we're doing here, because tomorrow the Jesus network is going to be spread out, isn't it? We're going to be between us. We're going to be in the hospital. We're going to be in the university. We're going to be in schools. We're going to be in the neighbourhoods, the suburbs. We're going to be in the towns on Anglesey. Trudy's going to be there in her school in Denby. All part of the Jesus network. That's how God meant it to be. Tomorrow you and I are the Jesus network wherever we are. Doesn't that excite you? It excites me. And John's saying, this is how it began. And now this is the part you're going to play. And I'm writing this book to convince you to put your trust in Jesus. I'm writing this book, he says, because I want you to believe like we believed a long time ago. I want you to take that same decision that we took right back at the beginning and see what miracles God will do in your life. It's a Jesus network, and he invites you to join it. I'm going to invite the band to join me on the platform now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, just want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for this group of fishermen, some of them quite sceptical, and their friends some very sceptical, had huge doubts at first. They thank you, Lord, that we can see our own story in their story. It took a long time for some of them for that penny to drop. But thank you for them. Thank you for Jesus, Savior of the world, died on the cross and rose again. Thank you, Lord, for this John who was there from the beginning, who was at the cross when Jesus died, who took Jesus' own mother into his home there in Jerusalem to look after her, and then went on, Lord, to see. He was there at the tomb when Jesus rose, and he was there when the Holy Spirit fell on the church, and he followed the church in its expansion throughout the ancient world. Lord, now he writes to tell us to believe. Lord, may we have that same belief. Lord, may that penny drop with us that Jesus is the Lord, and may we become part of this wonderful Jesus network, which has spread through cultures and nations and cities and times and periods of darkness and periods of peace, and it still expands today. Lord, this week, as we are in our places where we'll be, wherever we'll be, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, give us grace and strength to be the Jesus network in action. And just to tell others that we found what we were looking for in the Saviour. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.